Okay, so welcome to the Radical Results Mastermind for September 2nd, 2014. My name is Rob Goyette, and I live in Görlitz, Germany, with my wife and two sons. My wife is actually German. That's why we're here in Germany for now. I'm from Missouri. I've been supporting big names in the coaching industry since 2007, names you know like Christian Michelson, Lisa Sasevich, Robert Middleton, Milana Leshinsky, Rich Gurman, Gina Gabellini, Eva Gregory, Kim Clausen, BusinessCoach.com, Nicola Bird, Derek Rydell, Brett Gregory, Nancy Jutton, David Steele, Brandy Michaels, Vinca Hart, Donna Kozik, and many, many more. So I'm if you're in the coaching industry or that sort of overlaps in what you do, I've got a ton of experience supporting very successful people in that industry, although the stuff you're going to learn in here carries across to all industries. So before supporting the coaching industry, I was an internet marketer and a super affiliate for companies like Nightingale Conant and Robert Kiyosaki. I also spoke at international internet marketing seminars, which is actually how I met my wife, so it kind of comes full circle. The format for these calls is that we keep them to 1 hour, and I try to be pretty strict about this to respect your time and my time, so we'll be on this call for an hour. We'll start off, and I will share with you a radical resource. And this is typically a free or very low-cost tool that you can use in your business to help generate more visitors and leads and sales. And after the radical resource, we'll then go into the Q&A. And I'll start off by addressing any questions that are emailed in ahead of time. So if you've got questions that you want answered on the call, your best bet is to email them to me ahead of time. Just reply to any email that I send you and ask your question. We have three questions that were emailed in ahead of time, so we'll do those first. Then after the submitted questions, I'll open it up to live questions. And for that, you actually need to call into the line to ask your questions. You can either do that with your telephone with the information that was mailed to you, or you can use Skype. And if you Skype out to the Skype ID called Join Conference, you can then enter in that same passcode and connect through Skype. Regardless, the way I ask a question when we get to the live questions is you're going to be pressing star 2. I'll repeat that when we get to that point in the call, but you can press star 2 to raise your hand, and when you raise your hand, I can then call on you, unmute you, and you can ask questions. Then if we still have time after those live questions, we'll go into the webcast. Those of you who are listening on your computer, it's kind of a one-way thing where I'm not able to unmute you and bring you onto the line, but you can type in your questions on the webcast from that URL that I sent you. So that'll be the kind of the third priority. So again, if you have urgent questions that you want answered on these mastermind calls, the best thing you can do is email me your question ahead of time, and then I'll be sure to answer those first. Then after that, we go to live calls, and then after that, I'll look to any Q&A questions that are typed into the webcast. So that's how we'll handle questions. And then if we still have time within our hour, I will bring a back pocket topic, which is basically me teaching you something that I believe will help you in your business, things that that my current clients are excited about or you know, reinforces basics and fundamentals in their business. So, again, that's the format for these calls. And so without any more introduction, we will jump right in. If you don't have something to take notes with, please go ahead and get a pen and paper out or have your computer ready to take some notes, and we'll jump into the radical resource. So the radical resource that I'd like to share with you on this call is a free resource, and it's actually really cool. You guys may or may not have heard of this, but it's called iJot.com, E-Y-E-J-O-T, iJot. I like your eyeball, J like you jot a note down, iJot.com. And what it is it's a way to send video emails. And at first you might think, well, why would I want to send video emails? And I'll tell you that the answer is to get someone's attention. I actually used this with Gina Gabellini during her first launch, which turned out to be a six-figure launch. I think primarily, or at least a big factor in it, was this iJot tool. What we did is Gina was trying to figure out which partners to approach and trying to balance should she send emails or make phone calls and really just trying to find a good fit. And so I suggested that she use iJot to make a personal video to send to the big players who could support her, and that's exactly what she did. So Gina recorded like a 1 to 2 minute video for each of the big names that she wanted to approach. her, she didn't have to send a plain old boring email that gets ignored like a lot of other emails get ignored or kind of treated in the same bunch. It stood out because it was a video email, and it didn't take the time of making lots of half-hour phone calls to go back and forth and bond with people and finally getting around to asking, will you support me? So this iJot tool can be extremely handy for reaching out to JV partners, for example, or anyone whose attention you need to get where you want to stand out from the rest of all the emails that they receive. So again, that's iJot.com. And I'll tell you one other cool use for this. This is a different client, not Gina, who was having a launch. And she was actually emailing people. She decided just to go the normal route of emailing people. But there are a handful of people who were not responding to the emails, which makes sense because they're busy. And I don't know, I kind of think when we look at our emails and we have 100 emails in our inbox, sometimes it's tough to prioritize and respond to all of them. So she decided to do an iJot, but instead of delivering it to their inbox, what we did is we ran a Facebook ad only to those JV partners. You can actually go onto Facebook. There's a way you can go onto Facebook and find someone's Facebook ID. And what we did is we identified, I think it was like 8 different people, but we went in and we got their Facebook IDs, and we actually uploaded these IDs in Facebook into something called a custom audience. And this is a little bit technical, but basically we were able to show a Facebook ad to just one JV partner at a time. And that Facebook ad said, hey, I've been trying to reach you. I've got a video to show you. It's a personalized video to show you. And when they clicked the ad, it took them right over to iJot, where they were able to watch this video email right on their screen. And it was a video of my client talking directly to them, looking them in the eye or the webcam, and actually saying, would you support me? And of the 8 people, we actually got 2 to respond. I know one had a list of like 40,000 people and said yes on the spot after seeing that video. So anyway, iJot is a really cool way to sort of shake up the old stale email way of doing things, and you can do it with videos. Again, just like a 1 or 2 minute video to someone whose attention you're trying to get might serve you really well. So that's iJot.com. Okay, that's the radical resource. I tell you what, there's another resource kind of like iJot, but it's audio only. And I'll just share it with you guys since we were talking about iJot. It's called vocaroo.com, V-O-C-A-R-O-O. So this is for audio emails, not video emails, but it's called vocaroo.com, V-O-C-A-R-O-O, vocaroo, V-O-C-A-R-O-O.com. It's also free, and it's like iJot, but it's for audio emails instead of video emails. So now you have a couple of ways to go. I would, all things equal, I would go with the video emails, though, just because I think they're a little bit more novel and interesting than an audio email. But now you have 2 choices. Okay, so let's jump into the submitted questions, and then after the submitted questions, I'll open it up and ask you guys if you want to press *2 to raise your hand and ask questions live on the call. And maybe you didn't come to this call with any questions in mind, which is fine, but perhaps up till now or once I answer these 3 submitted questions, questions will occur to you to ask. So the first question comes in from Angie, and Angie says, I'm in the middle of launching 2 new group programs for first time. Do you have any suggestions on subject lines for emails that will help increase the open rate? So yeah, so I don't know if you guys play around with subject lines a lot, but subject lines are so important in email marketing because subject lines are what get people to open the email. It's who it's from and it's what's the subject line. So the way our brain kind of processes that is we look and see who's the email from and do we know and like this person or are we at least not turned off by them? And then we scan over to the subject line to see what it's about. And so, yeah, so Angie's question is incredibly important. It's like how do you come up with the best subject lines for your emails? And so the first piece of advice I would give you, Angie, is to model the business owners that you admire. So when you get emails, notice which emails you are opening and why you're opening them, especially if it's subject line related. What kinds of subject lines draw you in and might draw in your audience? Now, I realize that might be kind of common sense, but the reason that I'm giving this advice is that every audience is a little bit different, and so if you can kind of read through your own inbox, through the eyes of your audience, ideally through the eyes of your audience, you can get an idea for maybe some good subject lines that will work. And you can even build a collection, which is sometimes called a swipe file, of good subject lines. So that's my first piece of advice for you, Angie, is to notice in your own inbox which subject lines really catch your attention, especially if you're looking at them through the eyes of your audience. Now, you can also, I'd like to give you some more resources. And by the way, I'm going to give you guys three URLs. Some of them are quite long, and so don't worry if you don't get them jotted down, because when I send out the replay email tomorrow, basically the replay call and all the links, I'll include these links for you. So if you get them wrong or if you don't write them down, it's not a problem. But the first link that I'd like to share with Angie is it's a headline analyzer. It's really cool. You can actually plug in your own headline, and headline and subject line are kind of used interchangeably here, because headlines appear on web pages, subject lines appear in emails. But you can actually plug in a subject line into this thing, and it'll analyze it to tell you how effective it is. And so here's the URL for that. It's free. It's www.aminstitute.com/headline. This is all lowercase letters, and I'll say it one more time in case you want to write it down. But again, you don't have to, because I'll send it out to you guys. But it's www.am, as in like morning time or the first two letters in America, aminstitute.com, so www.aminstitute.com/headline, all one word, no dashes, just aminstitute.com/headline. And if you go there, you can actually type in subject lines. And I learned about this from Eva Gregory, and some of you may know Eva. But yeah, Eva shared this with me, and Eva actually got this thing. She came up with a headline that tested at 100%. That's how effective this thing was, at least by, you know, this website's own calculations and rules. And I'll tell you guys what it was if you want to try it. You know, you can plug in your own, but if you want to see this thing hit 100%, you can plug in the headline, "Everyone wants to see you succeed." It's either everyone or everybody wants to see you succeed. I'd say it's probably everybody. Everybody wants to see you succeed. And so that, I know I plugged it in recently when I was testing this thing out, and I don't remember if it was everyone or everybody wants to see you succeed, but when I plugged it in, it hit 100%. And by the way, if you can replace the word you with the person's first name, if you are collecting not only email addresses but first names and subject lines are still incredibly powerful. So I would probably try to use people's first names in the subject lines of your emails whenever you can. So, Angie, that's first and foremost, is any ideas you have for headlines, you may want to plug them in there. And by the way, most email softwares will allow you to split test your headlines. That is, send half of your list one version of an email and half of your list another version of the email to see which one gets opened more, like which one has a higher open rate. So that's something to keep in mind also, is you may want to test two or more headlines and see which ones get opened and pay attention to those. So the headline analyzer is one resource I have for you. I have two more. This one's pretty cool. What it will do is it'll let you plug in your subject line into this URL, and then it will show you what it looks like on a whole bunch of different devices, like different phones, like BlackBerries and tablets and computers. So you can actually see how your subject line will look to someone using that device. And so it may not be critical for your marketing, but it might at least be interesting, especially if you have a long subject line, to see how it's going to read on different devices. And so this URL is a little bit longer than the last one. I'm just going to say it once, because then again, I'm going to include it in the replay email that I send out to you guys tomorrow. So the URL for this, it's HTTPS. I think you have to include the S. So https://litmus, L-I-T-M-U-S, litmus.com/resources/subject-line-checker. So those dashes are hyphens. So litmus.com/resources/subject-line-checker. And that'll let you look at your subject lines in different devices. Then the third resource that I have for you, Angie, and then I'll move on to the next question, is I found a website or a web page that has links to what we might call a swipe file of proven subject lines. And so you guys, and this goes for more than just Angie, but if you're looking for subject lines for your emails, I think it's something like 500, and actually let me just go there real fast and tell you. Yeah, 557 subject lines. So you can kind of browse through some of these, and they're broken into categories or web pages, so you don't have to view all of them at once. But if you want over 500 proven subject lines, you can go to this URL. And again, I'll include it in the link that I send you tomorrow. But here it is. It's there's no www. Instead, it's the word blog.crazyegg, C-R-A-Z-Y-E-G-G, crazyegg.com/2014, like the year, /01, like January, /29, like the 29th, / and then some words with hyphens, email-subject-line-hacks. I'll say that one more time, but again, I'll include it in the replay email. It's blog.crazyegg.com/2014/01/29/email-subject-line-hacks. And again, that's a swipe file full of subject lines that you guys can use not only for your emails but also for headlines on your web pages. So, Angie, I hope I've answered your question and helped you with the idea of what kind of subject lines to use as you are promoting your two new group programs. We'll move on to the next submitted question, which is from Nicola. Nicola says, I have a question for the call. Here we go. In terms of marketing, I don't know where to start. I have an established and successful coaching business that I want to take to the next level. I do mostly one-on-one coaching and have a mastermind program. I think I need to create a 10-week group coaching program to leverage my time. My mailing list is about 1,000 people. Should I start with list-building activities, or should I start by creating and marketing the program? My list is not typically very responsive, and I'm not sure how else to market it, social media, Facebook ads. So my big question is really where to start in growing my business, list-building, program creation, or something else. So I've got some advice for you, Nicola. First and foremost is I think you need to start nurturing your current list. This is important for everybody on the call. You need to show your list love. You need to get them to know, like, and trust you. And so what I mean by that is as people come onto your list, or especially if they're stale and have been on your list for a while and you've been ignoring them, you want to just send them a ton of valuable stuff, not selling them anything, not promoting yourself, but actually just give, and give great stuff to them. Some people would even recommend that you give your very best stuff to them. You may want to save that and sell that, but give them great pieces of advice. And if you're hesitating about giving away all your best stuff, you can always go with the rule of teach them the what, but not the how. So you can say, hey, what you have to do is this, this, and this, but then save the how for whatever you're selling, whether it's a coaching program or a product. But yeah, so my first piece of advice to you, Nicola, is to start nurturing and giving love to your list. Give them great content. Let them get to know you. Don't promote yourself or anyone else's stuff for 30 to 60 days. So really get your list to get excited about emails from you and to save them. You can even teach them to put your emails in a folder. Oh, and by the way, a lot of you in this mastermind may have noticed that I ask you to reply to your email from me so that I know you got it. Well, there's also something really helpful there that you guys should be doing too. And that's that when people get on your list, if you can get them to reply to your emails are much more likely to get delivered because Gmail and all the other email delivery service providers, they pay attention to basically they're trying to figure out how to mark emails as to whether they're spam or not. But if you're actually sending emails or replying to emails to my address that I'm using to contact you, your email service providers will say, oh, this must be a good email. I'll continue to let them through. And you can do that with your list as well. So when people get on your list, at first, encourage them to reply to your first email or your second email, and that way your emails are much more likely to get delivered to them. And I wonder if that might be what's happening for Nicola, is maybe a lot of her emails are being flagged as spam. And so, so one thing to do is, however possible, even on the thank you page when people subscribe, is encourage them to send an email or reply to an email to you at whatever email address you're using when you contact them. Okay, so that's piece of advice number one for Nicola, is to nurture your list. Number two, what occurred to me is that if you have a list of only 1,000 people and they're not super responsive, then to try to sell a group coaching program through only email marketing, I think, is going to be rather difficult. Instead, what I would probably do is try to get as many of those people on the phone as you can. You can use a free session to get them on the phone. Maybe it's a 15 or 30 minute strategy session where not only do you help them during the session, but then you can, my advice would be try to put them into one-on-one coaching first if you have room, and then if they say, well, I don't have the money, and you believe that that's the true reason, you can downsell them into your group coaching program. Even if you don't have anyone else in your group coaching program, you can tell them that you're just starting it up and say, so you can join this for maybe one-third of the cost of my one-on-one coaching program, and then you'll be in the group coaching program for a while until you're ready to upgrade to one-on-one coaching if what you're teaching them is how to have more money, and oftentimes it is. But another thing is you can tell them that since your group coaching program is just getting started, it's going to almost be like one-on-one coaching. So it's like they're getting your one-on-one coaching for a third of the price or whatever the fraction is for your group coaching program. It's just that more and more people will be joining it. So it'll become they'll get less and less one-on-one attention over time, but it's still a great solution if they cannot afford your one-on-one coaching. So that would be my recommendation to you, Nicola, is with just a list of 1,000 people who are not responsive, is try to get as many of them as you can into a free strategy session. And then from that free strategy session, try to enroll them into one-on-one coaching, and if they balk at the price, downsell them into group coaching. Okay, so that's my second piece of advice for Nicola, who's got this list of 1,000 and wondering how to launch a group coaching program. So my third and final piece of advice for Nicola is you also want to continue to build your list. You don't want to just sit on those 1,000 names, and it sounds like you're aware of that, but you want to start building your list as fast as you can with good people, not just any old people, but the right people. And so there are lots of ways to build your list. Some of the best ones are through joint ventures. You guys might be aware of the JV Insider Circle put on by Milana Leshinsky and Rich Gurman, the JVIC. The JV Insider Circle is like a group of like 400 people who are all anxious to work with and promote each other. It's a really, really great opportunity to build your list very fast and easily. And they give you all sorts of JV training. Rich and Milana have built a combined email list of over 100,000 people. They know what they're doing. So that might be a really good solution if you guys are needing to build your list, would be to join the JV Insider Circle. It's not free, but it'll pay for itself really quickly in the joint ventures you make. Another thing you can do, though, if you don't want to join the JVIC, is you can just reach out to some of your friends and peers who might have lists of people who are your ideal person and just see if they would promote you for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be reciprocal. Like if you don't have a list yet or if your list is kind of small, you might not be able to reciprocate by doing a matching mailing with somebody. But there are other ways to do reciprocation. I remember when I had no list at all, I got a guy with a list of 10,000 to promote me in exchange for me helping him with his Google AdWords account. I said, yeah, I'll help you with Google AdWords, and you promote me to your list. He was happy. I was happy. So keep in mind, if you know of people who at least you can talk to, you might see what kind of reciprocity you can give them in order for them to promote you to their list. It might be that you pay them money. It might be that just simple friendship is enough. It could be that you offer to promote them once you get your business up and running. So friends and peers ideally promoting you can be another way to build your list. A third way, other than the JVIC and other than just reaching out to friends and peers, is Facebook ads. Facebook ads are a really powerful way to grow your list. And if you do it right, you can get people on your list for somewhere around $1 to $2 per lead. I've been seeing it somewhere around $1.10 to $1.25 per lead. So if you've got the budget for it, you can actually grow your own list of very qualified people using Facebook ads. And there's a specific strategy to it, and we can go into that in more detail if you guys have questions. But I will say that Facebook ads is another way to get your exact message in front of the right people and to get them on your list. Another source of getting leads for your list is LinkedIn. If you guys are familiar with LinkedIn, you know it's one of those social networks like Facebook, Twitter, and all these others, but it's LinkedIn, and what it is it's kind of like a business version of Facebook. And the thing about LinkedIn is the people on there have a higher average income or ability to spend money. And so the LinkedIn ads can be a little more expensive, but the quality of the leads can be even higher. And so you may not want to run pay-per-click, meaning run advertising in LinkedIn, because I think it's like a $2 minimum price for a click in LinkedIn. It's pretty expensive, whereas in Facebook you can probably get clicks for 25 cents to a dollar. But LinkedIn, I think the minimum is $2. But what you can do is you can get involved in some LinkedIn groups and start networking within the LinkedIn network. So that might be another way to build your list, but you have to be careful not to just show up and start spamming everybody. You really need to invest some time and energy into joining these groups and really start helping people so that they start to like you and gain your trust and you develop rapport with them and so on before selling to them or offering a strategy session. So that was my last and final point for Nicola as far as getting these two group coaching programs going. Number one was to start nurturing your list. Number two was to offer free sessions to your existing list of 1,000 to get them to sign up as one-on-one with a downsell into group coaching. And then the third piece of advice is to start building your list as fast as you can, either through joint ventures or advertising or participating in online groups. So I'm going to move on to the third and final submitted question before we open it up to you guys where you can ask questions live on the phone. The third question comes from Roxana. Roxana says, I don't have an email list or a Facebook page. I would like to specifically target expats. And by the way, that wasn't in my vocabulary until a few years ago. But an expat is, at least my definition is like, a U.S. citizen who has moved to live in a foreign country. And that actually describes me right now. I'm living in Germany, even though I'm a United States citizen and don't even speak much German. I live in Germany, and so I would consider myself an expat. So Roxana says she would like to specifically target expats in a small area in France where she's recently moved. So Roxana, you and I are kind of alike in the way that I live in a small German town, and you live in a small French town, it sounds like. So she asks, do you know of a good way to do this via Facebook ads and invite people straight into a free conversation without having to offer a freebie or enter people into an autoresponder series? All I want to do is have great free sessions, build relationships, and offer them high-end in-person coaching. So basically, Roxanne, your strategy is that you would like to have one-on-one conversations with people who live in your small French area, and you want to do it with the least amount of effort on your part, which is understandable. But my first thought is that this seems like a really small audience. I'm not sure why you feel like you need to only zoom in on your exact province, but maybe that's important to you. But I'm concerned that you don't have enough people in your group to really build a business around. Now, maybe you do. But if nothing else, I'd probably target the entire country of France, English speakers in France, and coach them on whatever it is you're wanting to coach the people in your province. Unless maybe you need to meet with them face-to-face, and maybe that's your reason, I'm not sure. But my first idea, anyway, is that it seems like you're targeting a really small audience, which might be challenging to try to reach through only online means. But I do have some ideas for you. So the first concept is that the people that you're reaching out to, they need to know, like, and trust you. They need to know who you are, like you, and trust you before signing up for a free session with you. Or your free session offer has to be so compelling that it's worth the risk that they're not going to like you or trust you. So all things equal, if you're going to use Facebook advertising, I do think that you should be giving them a free gift and building some trust and rapport with them before asking them to get on the phone with you. Even if it's for a free session, I think you need to impress them first and let them get to know you as a person and a business owner before asking them to get on the phone with you. Because otherwise, I just don't think people are going to respond to your free session offer. Unless it's so irresistible, like maybe you give a $100 guarantee that if I've wasted your time, I'll pay you $100. You might get people to respond then, but then, of course, you've got the financial risk. So I would probably, without having to risk your money, come up with some kind of irresistible free report, free offer, free tool for them, give that to them, and then build a relationship with them before asking them to have a free session with you. If you're going to use Facebook to try to reach this, what I would consider a small audience, you can try focusing on that city in France. I know in Facebook you can drill down to exact cities and provinces. So drill down to that exact city and target English speakers. I think that's how you're going to hit most of the expats, is by targeting the city and targeting English speakers. You can also look and see if there are any groups of expats on Facebook and target those groups. So if there are any French expat groups on Facebook, and there probably are, you can target those groups. I'll tell you, I live here in Germany, and there's a website for English speakers who are living in Germany, and it's called Toy Town Germany. Toy, like a child would play with a toy, town, like city, and Germany, toytowngermany.com. And it's a forum where it seems like there's a lot of complaining going on there about the Americans saying the Germans are rude or whatever. But it's a forum where English speakers can go in and connect with each other all across the country, as well as zoom in on their certain areas. So even though I'm in the easternmost city in Germany, I think I actually fall in the central area according to their map. So I'd have to drill down into the central area and try to find people who've heard of my little town of Görlitz. I did do a tiny bit of research for you, though, Roxana, and I found a website called Expat Forum, E-X-P-A-T-F-O-R-U-M, expatforum.com. And if you drill down, this is kind of a long URL, but I'll include this in the reply that I send out to everybody, the replay. But it's expats.com/expats/France-expat-forum-expats-living-France. If you go in there, or if you just drill down from their main website, expatforum.com, you can actually start networking with and talking to expats living in France, and you might even be able to drill down into your area of France. So if it's important for you, though, to have face-to-face sessions with people and deliver face-to-face coaching, one out-of-the-box idea you might consider is offering a free seminar in your area, like putting up flyers, you know, post them in English if you're trying to target English speakers, but put them in public places like coffee shops or wherever you can to draw people to a free seminar. And then in the free seminar, you can either drive them to a paid workshop, like maybe your free seminar is a half an hour or an hour where you let them kind of see what you're all about and impress them with what you can do, but then invite them to a paid workshop. Maybe it's an all-day or half-day workshop. And then from there, enroll them as coaching clients. Or you might even be able to enroll them as coaching clients from your free seminar or give away free sessions in your free seminar through some kind of drawing. But you may, if it is important for you to make eye contact with your clients, you might consider posting flyers around your area for a free seminar. So, Roxana, that's my advice for you. I'm going to take a breath here for a second. And then what we're going to do is, if any of you guys have questions so far about anything that's been said or asked, or maybe you have your own questions, I'm going to invite you right now on your phones to press *2, which will raise your hand. So on your phone or through your Skype dial pad, you can press *2 and it'll raise your hand. And then one by one, I can unmute you and have you ask your questions. And by the way, the way I'm going to do this, because sometimes like lots of people have their hand raised and people aren't sure if I'm talking to them or not, is I'm just going to ask you when I unmute you to say your name, and then I'll repeat back the name that I heard. That seems to be the best way for us to connect. So let me take one breath. Okay. And now I'm going to go ahead and unmute the first hand I saw raised. Looks like possibly Las Vegas. Would you please say your name?
Sandy Jacobs.
Hey, Sandy. I can hear you. Thanks for being on the call. What is your question?
You talked about talking to people on LinkedIn through the groups, but I have a lot of connections on LinkedIn. Are there any rules that, you know, I've got to follow to send emails to the people who I'm connected to on LinkedIn if I send, you know, like, group emails?
Yeah, it's a good question. LinkedIn will actually let you export people's email addresses that you can – or hold on. I hope I'm remembering that right. I think I am. I think you can export people's email addresses on LinkedIn and then import them into – your own email autoresponder, and that might be breaking some rules. I'm not sure about the terms of service of that, but I think I've helped a couple of people do that before. LinkedIn also has a paid service, or at least they used to, I think they still do, called InMail, where you can actually email people through LinkedIn, and it's a paid service, but it sort of has the LinkedIn blessing to reach people.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the exact rules are, but it seems to me that if somebody has agreed to be a connection with you, you should have the right to send them as many emails as you want, and if they don't like that, they can disconnect from you. Am I answering your question, or am I missing the point?
No. I guess I'll just have to find, just go in and look at their rules for sending group emails. I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'm sure it is too. Or just even start to do it, and probably you'll have to, like, some terms of service will pop up that you agree not to do this or that.
Okay.
But I'm trying to go back in my memory and remember. I know that I've messed with LinkedIn connections, and I'm pretty sure you can download them in like a CSV file, kind of like an Excel-friendly file.
I did that a long time ago. So, yes, that reminds me. I can go in there and do that because I have downloaded all of my contacts at one point, but now I'll just go back in and do it again.
Yeah. And, you know, if it's a small number, you can even reach out to them personally. Now, that might be time-consuming, and so sometimes if you have more money than time, it doesn't make sense to do that. But if you have more time than money, you can actually send each of them a personal email. I would probably explore the bulk options first, but depending on the size of your group, it might even be worth just really considering each one of them special and their own person and, you know, with their own business and their own needs and wants. And you could even do a video email through iJot from, you know, maybe some people stand out as better prospects than others. I just know that when I did some shooting from the hip LinkedIn advertising, this was for one of the people I mentioned in my introduction when I said people I've worked with, one of the more prominent ones. She had me do a bunch of advertising for her on Facebook, Google AdWords, Yahoo, Bing, and LinkedIn. And so what we did is we just shot for the low-hanging fruit. We gave almost no thought to the ads or the landing pages. We just ran the ads to see what would happen. And the only one that was profitable was LinkedIn. LinkedIn had the best prospects by far of any of the other advertising services. So
That's great.
LinkedIn are perhaps the wealthiest and maybe most qualified if you can find a way to connect with them.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking your question, Sandy. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute you. And I'd like to give anybody else a chance to raise their hand and ask questions. So far, Sandy's is the only hand I see raised. Let me refresh the screen. And let me Okay. All right. I tell you what, guys. I don't see any other hands raised, so I'm going to give you one more second to press *2 and raise your hand if you have a question. Otherwise, I do see quite a few submitted questions through the webcast, and I'll go to those next. Okay. I see no other hands being raised. I'll try to check back and see if there are any, but I'm going to go ahead and go over to the submitted questions. And let's see what we've got here. So, okay, first question comes from Christine. And Christine says, what are the top most important things to do before starting a business to ensure success? Yeah, great question. And I'm sure there's probably like an exhaustive list somewhere online, but I'll give you my version of it. And so before even starting a business, I like to encourage people to sketch out a one-page business plan. Now, I know a lot of you know Gina Gabellini, and she's got her Hell Yes business plan, and that might be a great way to go. What I've typically done with people is ask them to sketch out a funnel by drawing a big triangle on a piece of paper. And by drawing that triangle, usually we turn it upside down so it looks like an upside-down triangle with the widest part at the top and then the point down at the very bottom, and figure out how to basically how to get people to come into your funnel and what's going to happen along the way. And typically what happens is you offer some kind of free gift or free report or some kind of freebie, and we consider that to be the top of the funnel. And then from there you ask people to do things to move them through your funnel to your next step. Maybe the next step is to attend a webinar or a teleseminar or even to have a free session with you. And then maybe the next step after that is to buy something. Maybe it's something low priced, just so they learn they can trust you with their money, with their credit card, and that you take care of them. Or maybe it's even a higher price thing. But Christine, I would encourage you and anyone else who's still sort of trying to plan your business is to draw that triangle and figure out what are the steps that your ideal prospect would take to become your very best customer. They come to your website, they give you their name and email address in exchange for what? And after that happens, what's the next thing they do? Do they come to a teleseminar or a webinar, or do they watch a series of videos? What's the next thing? And then after that, let's say they're still with you and they love everything about you, what's the next thing you would ask them to do until finally they're at the very bottom of the funnel being a one-on-one client or having VIP days with you or coming to your live event or whatever it might be. So that would be the first piece of advice I'd give to you, Christine, is to sketch out that funnel. The next piece of advice I would give you is, I think everybody should keep this in mind, but there's something that I like to call the ultimate marketing formula. This is flat out how you sell to people, and it's just three parts. That is, you need to put the right offer in front of the right people at the right time. If you can put the right offer in front of the right people at the right time, you will make sales. So the right offer is something that's just an irresistible no-brainer. The right offer is an irresistible no-brainer that somebody who is the right person and it's the right time for them, if they see your offer, there is no reason that they would say no to it. So that's the right offer. That's the first third of the equation. The right people, these are your ideal prospects and customers. And I like to say that the right people need to have the three R's. They need to be reachable, responsive, and rich. And I don't mean rich like more money than they know what to do with. I mean they need to be able to afford your services. So they need to be reachable. You need to have a way to get in front of them, whether it's Facebook ads or whether it's flyers in a supermarket or whatever it is, you need to be able to get in front of them. They need to be responsive, meaning they need to be passionate about what it is you're offering. If you're a weight loss coach and you're targeting people who, it might be nice to drop 5 pounds, but they're not really that into it, they're not responsive. You need to target the people whose doctor said, you're going to die if you don't drop 50 pounds in the next 2 months or whatever it is. You need to target the people who are motivated and responsive. Okay? So that's the second part of the equation. So we've got reachable and we've got responsive. And the third is rich, is they need to be able to pay for your services. And there are some creative ways to help people pay for your stuff. Like some of you may know this, but if you have U.S. customers, they can actually pay you through PayPal. And one of the options in PayPal is called Bill Me Later. And the Bill Me Later actually lets people delay payments and interest for 6 months. So it's almost like getting a loan from PayPal. But the cool thing for you as the business owner is you get paid right away. And then especially if what you're teaching people is how to make money or have a business or somehow earn the money to pay for this, then they have 6 months to learn from you and do what you say to be able to pay for what it is that you already got paid on. So anyway, my whole point is that people need to be able to afford your services. So, Christine, these are two concepts I've shared with you. One is drawing the big funnel. Another is making sure that you put the right offer in front of the right people at the right time. Sorry, I didn't zoom in on the right time. The thing about the right time is, when people are on Facebook, they're not typically on Facebook to spend money with you. Like, that's not why people go onto Facebook. They go onto Facebook to check for social stuff or funny videos or, maybe it's business related, but oftentimes with Facebook we call that distraction advertising. You're distracting them from why they're there. And so the key here is to temporarily distract them and get them on your email list so that then they can start to get to know you and like you and trust you so that when it is the right time, your email is not far from their point in time. In other words, if you're emailing them great content every week and now they're ready for your irresistible offer, well, now, bam, you're right there in their inbox and they can hit reply or click your link and start working with you. So right offer, right people, right time, and then we've got the little sales funnel as perhaps your one-page business plan. So as far as those things to do before starting a business to ensure success, I think I've given you some really, really strong fundamentals. If I haven't, or if you have further questions, please either ask them on this call or shoot me an email after the call, and I'll answer it on the next one. Okay, so next question comes from, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Maya, M-A-J-A, Maya. And so it says, hi, Rob, I submitted my question per email, but maybe you missed it. Oh, I think I did. I have a funnel described in the email, and what I need is help with a marketing strategy and tactics to get the show on the road for this funnel. Okay, so Maya, perhaps you're one step ahead of Christine. You've got your funnel. I have a small list, some budget for Facebook ads. Please help. Many thanks. Okay, Yeah, so you've got your funnel, you know the path that people are going to take, and now you need a marketing strategy and tactics to get people into the funnel. And so what you want to do is you want to, I like the concept of pouring people into the funnel, and maybe pouring is the wrong physics word or chemistry word or whatever, but basically getting a whole bunch of people into the funnel. And so you want to do that, making sure that they are as qualified as possible while spending the least amount of money as possible. And that's why joint ventures are so great, because typically you're not paying people for a joint venture promotion. You're reciprocating with something else. Normally it's a reciprocal mailing, but it can be other ways, including money. But JVs are great because you're not spending money on leads. Now, Facebook ads are also good, but you are spending money to get leads. And like I mentioned, you'll probably spend $1 to $2 for a lead in Facebook, hopefully closer to $1 to $1.25. But still, you know, to build a list of 1,000 people, you're looking at spending over $1,000 to get there. And so if you have $1,000 and it's worth it, great. But I would try to make sure that you monetize those leads pretty quickly. Otherwise, it's not really a sustainable model. You can't bump up your lead generation very quickly if it takes a long time to monetize your leads. So make sure that in your funnel, Maya, that you are monetizing those leads as quickly as possible. And the fastest way that I'm aware of to monetize leads, especially coming from Facebook ads, is you go from a Facebook ad to a free, irresistible free offer. And ideally, this is something that should be consumable, easily consumable, and provide instant gratification. An ebook, by the way, is not instant gratification. An ebook is homework. So now, ebooks still work. People still want ebooks, but it is homework. A one-page report is a lot easier to consume than a 50 or 100-page ebook is. So I like the idea of a one-page report or a one-page toolbox or something like that, or even a short video is easy to consume and gives instant gratification, as opposed to like an ebook or, you know, worse yet, an 8-week video course or email course that'll take a long time to consume and therefore to monetize. So we go from Facebook ad to irresistible, free, easy to consume instant gratification report. And then the thank you page for that report invites people to a webinar. Now, these can be live webinars or they can be evergreen webinars, meaning they can run any time. But you need to provide some sort of congruent way to move people from your freebie into your presentation. And the reason that webinars and teleseminars work so well is because you're actually spending 30 minutes to maybe up to 2 hours sharing incredible content with people and letting them start to know you, like you, trust you, and learn what you're all about. So we go from Facebook ads to free report to webinar. Then from the webinar, what works really well is a call to action. Now, on the webinar, typically what you'll want to do is you'll want to teach great content and then toward the end of the webinar make an irresistible pitch where you describe what it is you're offering. Oftentimes, this can be a $2,000 program or a $500 program or something where you're actually asking people to spend money on the spot because they've already invested time with you on the webinar, on the teleseminar. But instead of sending them to a sales page, and this is a mistake a lot of my clients have made in the past, is they go from a webinar to a long sales page where people have to wade through all this content and testimonials and this and this and this and this and this. And it may not be necessary. If they've listened to your presentation on the webinar, you probably don't need to send them to a full sales page. You can send them to a summary page. And on that summary page, it reminds them of what your offer is and gives them a button to buy. That's a much faster path to a sale than making them wade through a sales page, which they might not even find your buy buttons because they're somewhere toward the bottom but not easy to locate. So instead, I'd recommend going Facebook ad to free report or free instant gratification gift. Then from there to ideally a webinar. The cool thing about webinars is people are at their computer, and that's where you're asking them to click buttons and buy stuff. So to a webinar, to a summary page, and then to your shopping cart. And then, by the way, once they're in your shopping cart, most shopping cart systems have what's called a one-click upsell. And a one-click upsell, think of it this way. Pretend that you're at McDonald's and you just gave the cashier $20 and said, I'd like to buy a hamburger. And the cashier still has the money in their hands and says, oh, well, would you like me to add fries to your order? they've already got your money. You're not pulling out your wallet a second time, and you can just easily say yes, and they just simply give you a different amount of change back. That's kind of like what a one-click upsell is. People have just bought whatever it is that you're selling. You've got their credit card information, and with one click of the button, if you do this right in your shopping cart, they can say yes to a second offer, and it'll simply bill their credit card for that extra thing. And so if you've got something really congruent that will help people and be right on target with why they bought your main product, you can do what's called a one-click upsell in your shopping cart and sell even more stuff during a single transaction. So, okay, I hope I didn't go off on too much of a tangent here. Let me reread Maya's question. To get the show on the road, small list, budget for Facebook ads. Yeah, so with the budget for Facebook ads, I'd recommend exactly what we're talking about is driving Facebook traffic to the free report webinar, webinar, summary page, shopping cart, one-click upsell. And by the way, I have got a 21-point webinar outline that I'm happy to give you guys. It is a proven way to sell your stuff on a webinar, and I think it'll serve you really, really well. It's the format that most of my high-paying clients use, and I think it'll serve you guys well, too. So I will send that to you. I don't remember if I recorded a video for it or not. If nothing else, it'll be a list of 21 things that should be in your webinar in that order. But also, I may have recorded a video tour of it, and if so, I'll include the link to that video. So, okay, so Maya, hopefully I've answered your question. We've got about 9 minutes left in the call, and we have got, two questions from the same person, so the timing on this might be really good. So this one comes from Angie. It says, I love the idea of creating a marketing plan for a year, but I have no idea where or how to start. Please help. Thanks. Okay, so marketing plans. Again, I really like the idea of a one-page marketing plan, which is this big triangle funnel. I think that'll really serve you well because you can then look at that and know exactly what you need to do in your business, you know, where you need to focus. Are you getting enough people into the top of the funnel? If you're not, that's traffic. You need to run Facebook ads or do joint ventures or find other creative ways to get people into the top of your funnel. If they're not moving to the next section, then you're not doing a good job of converting those free report people to getting them on your webinar or whatever the next step in your funnel is. If you're doing a good job getting people to your presentation but nobody's buying, then maybe your presentation is what needs work. And so by sketching out this big triangle, this big upside-down triangle called a sales funnel, and making that your one-year, one-page business plan, I think that's going to serve you really, really well. And if I'm not answering your question, please ask it again for the next call. Just shoot me an email, and I'll do my best to go into even more detail. Then Angie's second question is, hi, Rob, what did Gina say in her iJot video? That's a great question. If you guys remember back earlier in the call when I was mentioning iJot, this is a way to reach out to JV partners. And so what, and I gave Gina as a case study, you know, what did Gina say when she sent out her iJot videos? And I don't remember exactly what it was, but the formula that I gave her was, step one is you need to connect with these people. You need to look them in the eye, which means looking into the webcam, and connect with them on something personal you know about them. Like one of the people she reached out to had just had a baby. And so she reached out and commented, you know, hey, how's motherhood? I hope you're doing really well. And so, you know, connecting on things that sort of refresh that level of rapport you have with the person is the first thing. It also lets them know they're not just watching a canned video. The next section would be to tell them about your launch. Say, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I've got an upcoming launch, and here are the dates, here are the details, and I'd love to see if you can participate in it. You know, let me see if I can come up with some reasons why, how I can make this an easy yes for you. In my launch, I'm giving away prizes, I'm giving away 40, 50, 60% commissions, you know, whatever it is, why they should participate with you. Here are some other people who have already said yes, so you'll be in good company. And just basically make it short and sweet, and after telling them about their launch, then the third thing is to say, and by the way, if you have a launch or if there's anything that I can do to support you, I want you to let me know that too because I'm really interested in sharing the love and doing what I can to help you. So would you please, you know, now that you've watched this video, would you please reply to this email and let me know if I can count you in and also what I can do to support you. So that would be a really good format for reaching out to somebody through iJot. in my opinion. So, okay, so let me refresh the questions list, see if any other questions have come in. Ah, they have, and we may be out of time, but let me just see if I can answer these. Okay. Okay. Ah, okay, so two of them that came in are thank you. So thank you so much, Rob, for the advice. Appreciate it. And fabulous. Thank you so much for these insights and tips. Great. Yeah, and by the way, I appreciate you guys letting me know that this is helpful because this is almost like a radio show where I'm just doing all the talking here. And so I want to make sure that I'm giving you guys the very best of what I can. So I really appreciate the acknowledgement. Okay, so last question probably for this call is coming from Angie. I've created an online product and I'd like to promote it through joint ventures. Great. What should I get them to make it easier for them to market? Okay, how should they market it to their clientele? Should I offer an ethical bribe for their email address? And if so, can you think of something irresistible? I help people find 2 hours a day and improve productivity by up to 45%. And we're doing this through showing busy entrepreneurs how to easily create effective systems. Okay, so Angie, I need to actually give that question some more thought because it's really going to require, I think, a longer answer. But I'm going to try to answer part of it right now for you. This goes for everybody doing joint ventures. Whenever you have a joint venture partner, you want to make it as easy as possible for them to promote you. You want to write the emails for them to send. You want to put their affiliate link in there. You want to sign up for your affiliate program for them and simply send them their information. You want to do whatever you can so that all they have to do is copy and paste and maybe edit and send out your emails. You want to make this as easy as possible for your partners to promote you. You don't want to make them do any work at all. And if you can do that, then people are going to promote you and get the emails out. If you make them go in and sign up for your affiliate program that requires them to fill out their name and address and phone number and PayPal address and Social Security number and fill out a W-9 or W-4, whatever those forms are, and make them do all this stuff, people are not going to get around to promoting you. You need to make it as easy as possible for people. And if you do need that information, I would wait until after they promoted you and said, hey, I've got a paycheck here for you, or I've got a commission check here for you, but before I can send it, I need you to fill out this paperwork, or I need to know your address, that type of thing. So I would say make them do the minimum amount of work possible to promote you. Make it super easy for them because then they'll promote you, and then you can go ahead and ask them to jump through a couple of hoops before getting their nice big commission check. So that's the first thought. And I'm going to give some more thought to your question, Angie, and I'll probably reply to it in the replay email that I send out. So I tell you what, guys, we're getting to the end of our call. And like I said, I try to keep these calls to an hour. And if you have a question and I didn't get to it or I didn't see it, please email me. And I tell you what, please email me at the following address. Please email me at rob@coacheswebinar.com, rob@coacheswebinar.com. The reason I'm asking you to email me at that address is that's the same address where I send out my notifications to you, and it should help ensure that they get into your inbox. So rob@coacheswebinar.com, and when you send your questions, I will either reply to them in the replay email that I send shortly after this call, like tomorrow, or I'll address them on the next call as the highest priority. So, again, you know, I really appreciate you guys being on this call, and hope it was useful, hope it's helpful. Like I said in the beginning, you know, I've helped Gina Gabellini, Eva Gregory, Robert Middleton, ton of other sort of big names in the coaching, training, author industry, and I can help you too. I've gained a lot of experience from supporting these people because they're all brilliant marketers in their own right, but I also feel like I've been able to really add a lot to their businesses. So let me help you the way I help them. And by the way, most of them say that the way that I help them the most is exactly like what we're doing now. It's through phone calls and thoughtful emails. So please ask your questions. Let me know how I can help you. This is for you. And we meet the first 3 Tuesdays of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific. When we go on daylight savings time and all that stuff, pay attention to whatever California is doing. That's what we're going to do. 8 a.m. California Pacific time. We have less than 1 minute left. I'm just going to unmute the line so we can all say goodbye. I really appreciate you guys being on this call. Please email me if you have more questions, and I look forward to hopefully talking with you next week. I'm unmuting the line so we can all say goodbye. So thank you, everybody, for being on this call.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
All right. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.